Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. This program is brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, and we hope that you'll come and visit us sometime. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Or give us a call, 931-647-1324. We would be glad to hear from you. Before we get into our lesson this morning, I wanted to invite you to our Vacation Bible School next week. It runs from Monday through Friday every evening at 7 p.m. And we have classes for all ages, not just the little children, but all the way, small children, all the way up to adults, grade school, junior high, high school, adults. And we are studying Treasures of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at five different attitudes and characteristics that we need to have in our life. And so we invite you next week to our Vacation Bible School. Every night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Monday night, we're going to study dedication. Tuesday night, repentance. Wednesday night, humility. Thursday night, mercy. Friday night, generosity. These are great qualities that we need to have in our life, and we have great Bible class teachers ready to go to teach the children and the adults these great principles. So we invite you next week to the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ annual Vacation Bible School. If you need more information about that, if you will contact us, if you need a ride, or if you need some more information, please contact us, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. And you can visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to answer the question, are you looking for a church family? A lot of times I will be discussing Bible matters or religious matters or inviting someone to a church service, and someone will say, well, we have been looking for a church home or a church family. And so I'd like to talk about this morning and look at some New Testament passages, especially that deal with Christians being a family and some lessons that we can learn from that. But before we look at that part of our lesson, I just wanted to examine some of the common expressions that individuals make with regard to looking for a church and compare that with some things that are found in the Word of God. And then we'll get into that study of Christians being a family. A lot of times, excuse me, you'll see where individuals will say something along the lines that they're looking for a church. Someone might say, for example, I'm looking for a church that is large and fast growing. Well, I would just remind us in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the broad way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling that way, but there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few are traveling that way. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Numbers don't necessarily show that someone is right with God. Large numbers don't necessarily show that somebody is right with God. Jesus said the largest amount of people are actually traveling the road to hell and that road to destruction. Jesus said something similar in Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24, where there are few that are saved, there are few that are striving to enter in. And so it's the smaller numbers that are actually those who are faithful. Luke 13, 23. Lord, are there few that are saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. So we don't necessarily need to be looking for large numbers. Number two, somebody might say, well, I'm looking for a church like the one I was raised in. Well, that is fine if we were raised in one that matches the New Testament teaching. But I think of the Apostle Paul, for example, who was raised as a faithful Jew and Pharisee. And yet, when he was older, he met Jesus Christ. He was converted. He was baptized into Christ, and he left that behind. He talks about that in Galatians 1, 13 through 16. And in Philippians 3, 5 through 10, he left all of that Jewish way of life behind for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Philippians 3, 5 through 10. And so, if we were not raised in the right religious past, then God gives us a chance to make a change and a conversion to Christ. And maybe I was a member of a man-made denomination that's not found in the New Testament. I need to change and come out of that and be just a simple New Testament Christian and a part of the church that Jesus said he would build, Matthew 16 and 18. Number three, somebody might say, I'm looking for a church that is conveniently located near my home. Well, location is not what dictates a proper church and body of people. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, that worshiping in spirit and in truth, that is what is important. And he's talking to the Samaritan woman there at the well who said that we worship in this mountain. She was talking about her Samaritan religion and Mount Gerizim. And Jesus said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. And then later, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Location and geography does not dictate proper worship, but the right attitude and the right truth or the right authority. Number four, somebody might say, I'm looking for a church with popular people in it. I'm looking for a church that has big names and individuals in town that maybe politicians and city leaders. And yet the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's not about someone who has a lot of money, someone who has a big name, someone who's popular, someone who's highly educated. But we're called when we simply obey the gospel from any walk of life, from any color, any educational background, any social demographic, any amount of money. Popularity does not determine if we are the proper church and the location of the building and how I was raised in the past and if it's a large and fast-growing church. Let's look at a few other things. Someone might say, number five, I'm looking for a church that has a dynamic speaker. He's a real popular speaker, and he's a crowd pleaser, and he can draw a crowd. In the same book of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, that he didn't use persuasive words of wisdom. It wasn't about his speech or his wisdom, his excellency of speech, verse 1. He wanted their faith to be in God, not in the wisdom of men. And so he said in verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. It has nothing to do with the dynamic speaking ability of an individual. Number six, somebody might say, I'm looking for a church with friendly people. And there's nothing wrong with being friendly. But the main thing is that we be a people that are producing the fruits of the Spirit. And that we are living faithful Christian lives. And that we're walking by the Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, self-control. Walking and living by the Spirit. Of course, if we do that, we will be friendly. But being friendly alone is not the criteria that we need to be looking for. But are these a group of people that are faithful Christians walking by the Spirit? Number seven, somebody might say, I'm looking for a church that holds to the teaching that I believe in. Sometimes a person might say, I want it preached the way I want it preached. I want him to preach it the way I've always heard it. Something along those lines. I want it to match up with a particular doctrinal belief that I already have. The important thing is that the preacher preach the word, the gospel, without changing it, without adding to it, without taking from it, without modifying it in any way, without substituting anything for it, without changing it. When Paul told Timothy to preach, he told him to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. Preach the truth, even when people turn away from it. And in the book of Revelation, when John is writing to the church at Pergamum, he commends them for a few things, but he also condemns them because they have some that are holding to the teaching of Balaam and some who are holding to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. False teaching, false doctrine. We need to go where someone is teaching and preaching truth and then believe it and hear it and obey it. And then last of all, number eight, somebody might say, I'm looking for a church that has a well-known reputation. You know, First Church such and such in Clarksville. They have an old building. They have a tradition of going way back. They have a name of being a certain kind of church. I want to go where there's a well-known reputation. And I think about when John wrote to the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, you have a name that you are living, but you are dead. Talking about spiritually dead. They had a name, they had a reputation, but internally they were spiritually dead and they needed to repent. So it's not about a fast-growing large church, one that I was raised in, one that's conveniently located near my house, one that has popular people in it, one with a dynamic speaker or friendly people, one that teaches and holds to a teaching that I believe in, one that has a well-known reputation. It's not about any of that. It's about being a local church of Christians that matches the New Testament in all things, in name, in organization, in work, in worship, in the plan of salvation, and all the other things that we find in the New Testament for the Lord's church. That's what we need to be looking for, not something that pleases us, but that pleases God. It's not the church of our choice. It's the church of God's choice that we need to be thinking about and looking for, and we can find it. Just like you can find your car in a parking lot by looking for the make and model and color and license tag. You look for those identifying characteristics of your car. You're driving down the street. You know where your house is. You know the house number. You know the way it looks, the color, the size, the shape. There are characteristics where we can find our car, we can find our house, we can find a number of things because we know the characteristics. And the same is true today. 2,000 years or so after the Lord's church has been established in the New Testament, we can still find it today. If we will look for those characteristics, we can find it. It may take some time. It may take some investigation. It may take an open mind and an open Bible. But those are the things that you and I need to be looking for. Let's not settle for anything less than the Lord's church found in the New Testament. Not just anything nearby and close, but what is found in the New Testament. And we at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ are striving to be simply those New Testament Christians that you can find in the New Testament. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And so, let's talk a little bit in our time remaining about looking for a church family. The idea of a church family is actually a New Testament principle. Christians in the New Testament are described as God's family, brethren. And so it's a great principle. It's a great thought. And when somebody says, I'm looking for a church family, that is a scriptural concept. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I want to look at some areas of the New Testament where God's people are described in family terms and try to learn some lessons for that. Turn with me, first of all, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to do that. And by the way, anybody listening on the Let the Bible Speak program who does not have a Bible and you would like a Bible, or you would like for somebody you know to have a free Bible, we'd be glad to get you that. I'll bring you that personally. Please contact us, and we would certainly be glad to give you a Bible. But if you'll turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, the first point I'd like to make is that we are sons of God. We are a family that is a Spirit-led family. Paul writes, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. He's not talking about your skin on your body, but carnal, fleshly, worldly mind and attitude. For if we live after the flesh, you must die spiritually, die in sin. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And then he goes on to talk about children of God in verse 17. First of all, look for a group of Christians, sons of God, who are a family with a Spirit-led life. A Spirit-led life. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit and His words to produce the fruit of the Spirit that I mentioned earlier, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. And we don't want to walk by the flesh, doing things like fornication, lasciviousness, jealousy, wrath, division, drunkenness. We're not going to engage in the fruit, the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. That tells us how that we can become a son of God. We can be baptized into Christ. And then Paul says in Romans 8 that we are children of God, we are sons of God, and we are led by the Spirit. Number two, we are children of promise. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. Being children of promise, we are free, free from sin and other things that are mentioned in the New Testament. Paul writing specifically here in Galatians 4 and 5 about freedom from the old law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also is now. And then Paul goes on to say, we are free. Brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And he goes on to talk about the old law. Free. We're free from sin. We're free from human tradition. We're free from the old man, the old way of life. Don't you want that for yourselves? Number three, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. We are the household of the faith. I'm looking for a church family. That's great. We're a household of the faith. The faith here is talking about the 27 books of the New Testament, the gospel, the New Testament teaching, the household of the faith. And so what that says is that we are a family with a standard. We walk by the faith. We don't just live any way we want every day. We have a standard in the New Testament to teach us how to live, how to talk and how to act right, how to think, how to dress, how to react with others, how to have a proper marriage, how to have a proper family, how to live properly as a citizen, an employer, an employee, all the different relationships that we have in life. That standard of the New Testament teaches us how to live and walk each day. We are the household of the faith. And that's a great thing. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. As a church family, we are beloved children of God. And we have a divine example to follow. We follow the example of our Father. Just like in our own families, children act like their father and their mother. As a church family of children, we act like our Father. We strive to be godly each day. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, "But you therefore, be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell." Be imitators of God as beloved children. Come on down to verse 8. "You were once in darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We strive to follow that divine example of God, His love for others, His forgiveness. We're to forgive as God forgives. We're to be merciful as God is merciful. We're to be kind as God is kind. We're to be sacrificial as God is sacrificial. We're to be loving as God is loving. John talks about that in 1 John chapter 4, that we love because He first loved us. We're trying to bear the marks of our Heavenly Father. We're not going to act like the god of this world, small g, the devil. In John chapter 8, Jesus accused the Jews of being like their father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. We can be like that father, the devil, or we can be like our Heavenly Father. We follow that divine example. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul writes that you become blameless and harmless children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We're children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we're trying to live that example of our Heavenly Father, be a light to those around us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. We are the household of God. As a church family, we are the household of God. And Paul writes there that we are built upon a foundation, just like a house is built upon a foundation. "So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." The teaching of Christ and then his apostles that went into all the world and the prophets in the local New Testament churches. In other words, the New Testament teaching, starting with Christ, we are a household built on that foundation. We all want a foundation in life. It's a foundation that keeps us stable as we go through life, through difficult times and rocky times and temptations and stresses and strains and different kinds of things that are going to assault and assail us. We can be built on the solid foundation, the rock of Christ, the cornerstone of Christ, a church family with a solid foundation. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We are the house of God. As a church family, we are the house of God. And Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul writes that if I tarry long, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. We have a purpose. The church of God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, we are the pillar and ground of the truth. We are the stay, the support. We hold up truth. We give it a solid base, a foundation, a pillar, a support when we preach the truth, when we teach the truth, when we live the truth in our life, we support that. When we share it with others. And so as a church family, we have a purpose to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. As a church family, we are a spiritual house. The church is a group of people, an assembly of people. It's not the building. We had a previous lesson on this program not long ago about that. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that you also, speaking to those Christians, as a living stone are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We have a spiritual work to do. Teaching the lost, building up the saved. We have a spiritual sacrifice to offer up when we come together in our songs and in our Bible study and in our prayers. We are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. It's not the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. In Hebrews 3 and verse 6, we're the house of Christ. Jesus is the Son of God over us. In 1 Peter 1:14, we are children of obedience. We are a church family that is not like the world, but we're striving to obey God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, we are a brotherhood. We are to love the brotherhood. We are a church family that loves each other and will love you too. If you will come, be a faithful Christian, you'll have a loving church family to support you. And finally, in 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, we are called children of God. And we may not be accepted by the world, but we are accepted by God, by Christ, by one another, and we support each other and help each other go to heaven. Are you looking for a church family? Come to Warfield Boulevard. We are a church family. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want to build our family on the divine standard of the faith. We want to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We want to love each other. We want to be these things that we've discussed this morning. Come visit us, 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come be a part of the Warfield Boulevard Church family. And remember, next week, our Vacation Bible School for all ages. We would love to have you come. Contact us if you need more information about that. And we're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll have a good day.